Do you know about the legend of Sleepy Hollow? My friend Clara Woodrow asked casually as we watched our dogs cavort. I felt as if a bowling ball lodged in my stomach. Not for any external reasons. The externals were fine. It was early afternoon of a sunny and not too chilly day for late October in North Bend County, Kentucky. We were watching the dogs at the Torrid Avenue Dog Park, where the main topic of conversation broadened, temporarily, beyond dogs to whether the warm and dry spell would last for Halloween trick-or-treaters the day after tomorrow. Cavorting is something our dogs do every day. If we don't take them to the dog park to cavort, they do it in our houses, which is something experience has taught us to avoid, if at all possible. Clara's Lulu was the white Great Pyrenees mix cantering joyfully along a path that would nauseate a snake. My Gracie was the sable and white collie clacking her teeth at Lulu's shoulder, telling her to straighten that line. Collies are a bossy breed. The third member of their triumvirate, Lab Mix Murphy, departed not long ago with his owner, Teague O'Donnell. Teague and I were dating? Seeing each other? Sort of a couple. We'd spent a laid-back, dog-centric weekend together. Teague's early departure from the dog park was to prep to substitute teach a new class tomorrow at an area high school. We didn't kiss goodbye to public, but his look promised to make up for that the next time we said hello. I enjoyed looking forward to that, until Clara asked her question. The legend of Sleepy Hollow haunted me. Not for the reasons you might think, even with Halloween coming. In elementary school, as punishment for talking in class, I read the story aloud. The memory of my fellow students' faces, divided between boredom and avid anticipation of my making a mistake, swam into my mind's eye before every one of innumerable readings I did as an adult, especially since attendees at those latter readings thought I was reading my work. I wasn't. That was all Kit's doing. I call her Aunt Kit. She's actually another generation removed from me, though she maintains the appellation great is one she's earned by deeds, not by family tree. She does not like to be contradicted on that subject, or others. She supported herself her entire working life by mostly happily writing genre fiction. That alone is a feat. Then she wrote another book, an amazing book, a once-in-a-generation book, a book called This Century's To Kill a Mockingbird. Aunt Kit had been around publishing enough to know Abandon All would not get the star treatment if presented as the work of a career-long mid-list writer. She asked me, fresh out of college at the time and passably attractive in a wholesome Midwestern way, to be the book's public face. In other words, pretend I wrote it. It worked, beyond Kit's dreams, I think. Certainly astronomically beyond mine. Bestsellerdom, sequels, movies, big money, fame. Thankfully, the readings I gave as the purported author of Abandon All did not morph into Sleepy Hollow like nightmares. The faces in those audiences were eager and interested, unlike my childhood classmates. More important, Aunt Kit wrote in a style infinitely more conducive to being read aloud in our times than Washington Irving did. The opening of The Legend of Sleepy Hollow takes 6 chunky phrases to get through the first sentence. I still shiver at the commas and semicolons littering every sentence. In an agony of phrases, I stumbled along to reach the fat fourth paragraph, which introduces the apparition, though it is not until the end of the fifth paragraph that the sobriquet, the Headless Horseman of Sleepy Hollow, is introduced. That got the attention of my ghoulish classmates. Their ghoulishness was not news to me. I wasn't a chicken. I wasn't. I just wasn't destined to like horror movies or other methods of being scared. As a kid, I could dash through Old Town Cemetery in my hometown on a dare with the best of them, possibly faster than most and always sticking to the past because it's rude to run on people's graves. But I didn't care how much harassment Brian Ferris poured on my head. I was not going to stretch out for a nap atop a grave. Not gonna do it. Actually, I'm not gonna run through a cemetery again either. Not after Brian Ferris jumped out from behind a headstone at me. Yes, I screamed like a girl. However, Brian Ferris couldn't gloat about it because I also swung and kicked at whatever grabbed at me. The swings knocked him down. The kicks got his nose and jaw. He wasn't laughing or talking for a while.